We're talking about health system literacy. It's about navigating your way through the payments and who you go to and how you get cared for. And with a high level of education, it's still, for anybody, it's a very complicated system to find your way through.
Oh, I've absolutely felt like that myself before. You're kind of going, you're struggling, you're talking to 1,000 different people, you're trying to make sense of technical wording and going, well, I mean, I sort of work in the space and I'm pretty highly educated. And we heard Linda there, you know, she's got a computer science PhD. I often think about how much harder it is for people who don't have high levels of literacy and health literacy.
Which is exactly the subject that Rebecca McLaren, our producer, has been looking into.
Have you ever done that thing where you're filling in a form and you overthink it and put your surname straight in the first name box? Makes you feel pretty silly, right? So let's magnify that tenfold and imagine you're struggling to understand the form at all. You're probably going to avoid that situation at all costs.
When you go to a doctor, just a GP, you're often hit with a form straight away if you haven't been there before. So they're actually nervous about going into a often busy waiting room and being given this form to fill out if they don't feel confident filling it out. So it stops people going to the GP.
Vanessa Arles is the manager for the Reading and Writing Hotline. Yeah, that one.
Then if they are struggling with the sort of appointment letters and reminders on their phone, if they can't read them or they're not sure what they say, then they're not going to those appointments. And when you start missing appointments and dropping out of that cycle of care, then people that should be going to GPs and specialists often will end up in emergency.
At Counterpoint Community Centre in Sydney, Grant Nair says digital tech isn't helping. Many of their clients need human support.
For majority of our clients, a lot of them don't have a lot of access to the internet as it's quite expensive. As well, to upload and submit information can be quite daunting and stressful for some of our vulnerable clients. We've got a client, they got a referral from their GP, but their GP told them they need to email the mental health practitioner. So they came to us, we supported them in making that referral to the mental health practitioner by uploading all the documents, the referral, the K10 assessment, and sent it off, but as well follow up around them seeking support from the dental hospital. They have to provide quite a lot of information to them around like previous medical diagnosis, medication they're on, treatment plans they're getting from other specialists.
When they're helping someone fill in a form like this, what other work are they not doing?
Assistance in case management and very important information advice and referral to like domestic violence or mental health services or AO drug and alcohol services.
Vanessa says it's also not really what the hotline is set up for.
The hotline service is to help people that want to improve their reading and writing and their numeracy into classes. And what we found during COVID was because their support networks were often in lockdown, we were receiving a lot of calls that we didn't normally receive, and a lot of that was around health literacy. So that sort of piqued our interest in this area. So some of the examples I remembered particularly was a gentleman that rang up and he said he had this enormous piece of paper. He was needing to do a COVID test. And it was double-sided and it was in tiny, tiny font and he was struggling to even read it. But then there was so much information on it and he just didn't know how to do the test.
Health professionals can improve accessibility of their websites and phone systems, the signage in their practice, and be considerate of someone who might need support with their literacy.
Saying things like, what questions do you have for me? Not, do you have any questions? Because people often feel very nervous about coming up with a question. If they're not feeling warmly, there's a safe space for them to do that. And getting people to explain what they've understood from all of that information they've just received is also really important. And that also builds health literacy.
Professor Kirsten McCaffrey from the Sydney Health Literacy Lab says one survey showed health literacy is a challenge for 60% of Australian adults. The pandemic highlighted the gaps, but it also showed solutions.
It's really important to build trust, and that means working with community, being very transparent about decisions that are made. We have great community networks in Australia, and I think what COVID showed actually very well was when we do work closely with community, we can get really great outcomes. We did some really interesting research with the TAFE in New South Wales, We were running health literacy programs in their literacy and numeracy classes. And what we saw was that those teachers out in the community were actually doing a lot of that kind of support for the students in their classes. You know, you had someone that was trusted, that was knowledgeable, and could help guide people.
I think we can all understand English is a second language. That's an obvious barrier, but that's not the only group of people that we're talking about here.
No, that's absolutely right. And there are lots of people for all sorts of reasons who have had a very disruptive pattern of learning. They might have moved around, there might be learning difficulties, all sorts of reasons. People are very good at being adaptive, so people can actually get very good at finding workarounds. And so they can often manage, you know, many of the things of their life really well. But when it comes to having to read a medicine label, for instance, there isn't a workaround for having to read that label. Because schooling has not been a good experience, people are very reluctant to come forward and say that they struggle to read. People find it very stigmatizing. So that's also a major, major challenge with being able to support people. And I guess being positive, we now live in this digital age where there are increasingly different technologies that we can use to support people. You know, a lot of the work that we do now is looking at multimedia and using audio and using animations, making messages really short. There are lots of ways that support people with information that isn't written, isn't text-based. But of course, you've also got to teach people how to use those technologies, and they've got to also have access to those technologies. And that's something that often gets missed. There are these whizzy new tools with chatbots, but we forget that we need to actually help and teach a person how to use these tools, and people often fall in the gaps there.
Professor Kristen McCaffrey from Sydney Uni's Literacy Lab there. And Norman, that 60% number really shocked me, but I wonder if maybe it helps people feel like less alone, like they're not silly for not understanding something or needing to ask questions. Actually, it's the majority.
Yeah, and don't get me on to Australia's school system, which still parts of it teach literacy entirely the wrong way in a non-evidence-based way. But don't get me going about that.
Now I really want to ask you about that.
Another time.